As I mentioned in the children's message, our scripture text today comes from Genesis chapter 22. And Genesis chapter 22 is probably my favorite story in the life of Abraham, and really it's one of my favorite stories in the whole Old Testament. It's the story of when Abraham and Isaac travel together to Moriah. And if you remember this trip, you remember that God had told Abraham to take his son and to sacrifice him there on the altar. Sort of a difficult story. But we pick up in Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to read verses 1 through 18 in Jesus' name. And after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb and a burnt offering, my son." And so they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound up Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took his knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." And it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Heavenly Father, we thank you today for recording this story in Scripture, the story of Abraham and Isaac. Thank you, Father, for recording stories about your faithfulness to all of your people, and stories about all of your fulfilled promises. God, we ask today that we might trust your promises to us in Scripture as Abraham trusted your promises to him. Today, Lord, show us our sin and our need for a Savior. And today, give us Jesus. This we pray in the name of your Holy Son. Amen. Abraham, one of the greats of the faith. So great, in fact, that he's recorded in that wonderful passage of Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. Hear what the author of Hebrews had to say about him. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born descendants, as many as the stars in heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of the sand by the seashore." It wasn't just the author of Hebrews that writes about Abraham. The name and memory of Abraham make it into nearly every book of Scripture. Abraham's story gets told in the pages of Genesis, but his name comes up in every one of the first five books of the Bible. He comes up in many of the historical books, a handful of the prophets, the Psalms, every one of the Gospels, and the writings of Paul and James. Abraham is a giant, the father of the nation of Israel. And through him came the line of Jesus Christ. Jesus was the fulfillment of the promise that God gave to Abraham when he called him out of Ur. That promise would be, or was, that he would be a blessing to the entire world. This account in Genesis chapter 22 is truly a great story about the faith of Abraham. Abraham's given a test by God, and one that I think if I were placed in his shoes, it's a test that I would have failed. Let's take a look back at the life of Abraham a little bit and see if we can't put ourselves in his shoes and understand all that he is going through. In Genesis chapter 12, we hear God's call of Abraham, whose name at that time is Abram. He calls him out of a pagan city in a pagan land to go to a place that God would provide for him. And right away in those first verses of the interaction between God and Abraham, God offers a promise, a covenant with this man. God says this, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and anyone who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Abraham was already at the ripe old age of 75 years old when he received this call to leave his people, leave his family, and go to an unknown land. But in that call also came great promises of blessing. As Abraham's story continues into chapter 13 of Genesis, God has Abraham stand and look to the north, then to the south, then to the east, then to the west. And then he tells him to count the dust of the earth, an impossible task. But the point God is making is that Abraham's offspring will be just as numerous as the dust of the earth that can't be counted. In Genesis 15, God brings Abraham to look at the night sky. He tells him to count the stars, which is just as impossible as counting the sand, if you've ever tried. And God again promises that his descendants will be uncountable, just like the stars. After this promise is said to Abraham for the third time, God does something very interesting and ratifies the covenant, the promise that he had made. Back in the days of Abraham, if you were making a covenant with another party, you would split animals in half, putting their sides along a trench, and together you would walk through the blood. The idea was that if anyone broke the covenant, that they would be like these animals, split in half. But rather than God and Abraham walking together, Abraham goes to sleep and God walks through, making the promise to himself, a promise that will never fail, that Abraham will become a great nation, that Abraham will be blessed, and he will be a blessing to the entire world. After Genesis 15, the life of Abraham continues on. And before we hit chapter 21, Abraham hits quite a milestone in his life. 100 years old. His wife is 99. 100 years old, 25 years after God's promise that he would be a great nation, that his descendants would be uncountable, and after 25 years, there is no child to be found. Abraham could not become a great nation if he had no children. His descendants could not be innumerable if his wife could not conceive. All of this was dependent upon a child. And when we get to Genesis chapter 21, when Abraham is 100 and Sarah is 99, we hear that she has conceived and born a son by the name of Isaac. Isaac is the child of promise. Isaac is the child through whom the descendants of Abraham will be uncountable. And through his line, the people of Abraham will be a blessing to the entire world. Because through his line, God sends his son, Jesus the Messiah. After 25 long years, Abraham and Sarah have a son. Can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine what they would have experienced to have a child that they have been longing for, that had been promised to them 25 years before? Can you imagine their exhaustion? It's tough enough to raise a kid in your 20s or your 30s. I can't imagine being 100 years old and chasing around a toddler. But even with the exhaustion, their joy must have been great. They had a son. God's promises were good. He had done what he said he would do. Abraham and Sarah likely had 10 to 15 years with their son Isaac before we get to Genesis chapter 22, where our story from this morning came. The child of promise had grown into a young man of promise. And one day, in Genesis chapter 22, God asks Abraham to do something rather strange with that son of promise. He asks him to take his son, his one and only son, and take him to Moriah. Go to a mountain, build an altar, and offer his son as a sacrifice. Can you imagine what Abraham was going through? I can't. I can't even approach it because I break down and fall apart thinking about my own son. But that agony must have been magnified with him, knowing that Isaac was the child of promise, a promise that he had waited 25 years for. That child was a sign and a down payment on all of God's promises. And now God was asking him to kill Isaac. Being a father, I can't imagine saying yes to this. I can't imagine considering it. I'm sure that I would have failed this test. But Abraham, somehow, some way, is faithful to what God asks. He took his son. He bound him on the altar. He raised the knife. And all the while, he somehow trusted that God would provide, even when it looked like his son's end was about to come. You know, I'll never forget the first time I heard this passage preached. It's a special day in my life. It was in the month of May of 2002 in the sanctuary at Our Redeemer's Lutheran Brethren Church in Minot. It was a baccalaureate service for my graduating class. And graduating was something that I was ready for. I was ready to get out of my parents' house and move on. The preacher that evening used this as his main sermon text, Genesis 22, but he also talked about some other giants of the faith and their faithfulness to God. He used Moses and he used Paul and he used them as examples of men who had obeyed the call of God disregarding the cost. He used these examples to call us as 17, 18, 19-year-old kids to a greater obedience and trust in God as we faced temptations at college, temptations in the workforce and temptations away from home. And his advice was good advice. It really was. Look to Abraham and be faithful even when the outcome looks terrible. Look to Moses and be faithful even when your task seems impossible. Look to Paul and be faithful to God no matter what persecution comes. It's good advice. All of it is. For God does demand our faithfulness regardless of how big the task, regardless of how the outcome looks. Regardless of what we suffer along the way. And so after hearing this message, I left that service excited and thinking that I was ready to conquer the world and I was going to be faithful to God in all things as I had done it. Unfortunately, though, you don't have to take a very hard look at my life after high school to realize that I'm a person who's failed to be faithful. I failed when the outcome looked bleak. I failed when the task seemed too large. I've failed when I've run into trials. What's even worse, though, is I failed when the outcome looked good. I failed when the task was manageable. I failed when everything was going well and there were no obstacles in my way. Now, I know you guys can relate with this, because we're all unfaithful servants of our loving God. Each and every one of us is unfaithful. We fail, we fall short, we seek our own pleasures and set ourselves in God's throne, we sin. And then when we look back at the sterling example of the faithfulness of Abraham in this passage, the faithfulness of Moses as he stood before a Pharaoh, and the example of Paul as the greatest missionary this world has ever seen, it leaves us feeling like complete and total failures, doesn't it? It leaves us feeling inadequate, and it can even lead us to question whether or not we're really saved. This is unfortunately a place that I've been to many times in my life. My life has been marked by continuing to do the sin I hate and failing to do the good I want to do. And then after my sin, when I reflect on my life and reflect on the scriptures, doubt rears its ugly head. I've been there too many times, and I'm sure many of you have spent too much time there as well. You see, the preacher at that baccalaureate service missed something very important that day. Failed to mention the shortcomings of the heroes of the faith. He failed to mention that there are no real heroes of the faith, just sinners chosen by God, forgiven by God, and used by God to do God's work. Abraham was a liar, and he gave his wife to others in marriage to save his own skin. Moses was a murderer. So was the Apostle Paul. And Paul freely confessed that he did the evil he hated and failed to do the good he desired. These biblical heroes were human beings, flawed, broken, and sinful, just like us. You see, the preacher missed something even worse in that passage. Even though he spent a lot of time talking about the story in Genesis 22, he missed the main and central point of the story that's here. This story certainly does communicate the faithfulness of Abraham, but Abraham's faithfulness is not the center of this story in Genesis 22. The point of this story is the incredible faithfulness of an unfailing God. God made a covenant with Abraham. He promised it again and again. He ratified the covenant, making the promise with himself. He provided the child of promise. He took care of the child of promise until it was the young man of promise, and he provided a substitute for the life of the only son of Abraham. Genesis chapter 22 is not about Abraham proving to God that he was faithful and that he was worthy of the promise God had made. In fact, he wasn't worthy of it. Genesis chapter 22 is about God proving to Abraham that he was trustworthy, that he was faithful, that his promise would be fulfilled, and we didn't have to doubt or question it. You see, we too can trust God's promises because he was faithful to Abraham. He was faithful to Isaac. He was faithful to Jacob, and he will be faithful to us as well. Before I throw the baccalaureate preacher under the bus anymore, I need to tell you who he was. It was me. I preached that sermon, and in my humble opinion, it was the worst sermon ever uttered. Filled with great advice. Live morally, be faithful, keep God's commandments, but it was lacking in entirety the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is terrible and unfortunate. It wasn't preaching at all. It was just a self-help message. And I honestly don't know how I missed the gospel in this passage, because you have to plug your ears and close your eyes not to hear it screamed and not to see it printed. You see, God had required Abraham to sacrifice his one and only son, the son of the promise, and God provided a promise for him because God provided a substitute. The line of Abraham continued. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, Solomon, Mary and Joseph, and finally Jesus the Christ all exist because God provided a substitute. God spared the only son of Abraham so that his one and only begotten son might come and serve as the substitute for all of mankind. While God spared the son of Abraham, he would not spare his only son. He could not spare his only son. And it is because of that son that we have life and have it eternal. It is because of that Son that our sins have been washed. It is because of that Son that we have been brought back into right relationship with God. Yes, this is a story about the faithfulness of a man named Abraham. And we would do well to take a look at our own lives and ask the question, where do I fail to be faithful? I have no doubt that you will find countless times and places where you fail to be faithful to your God. Just as I will find countless times and places where I fail to be faithful to my God. We'll find them in our work life, home life, and private life. If we do this, we'll find a great deal of sin. This story in Genesis is the story of a faithful man, yes. And we can learn from it, yes. But more importantly, it is the story of a God who is faithful. A God who is always faithful. A God who provided the substitute for the one and only promised son of Abraham so that he could send his only, one and only promised son to be the substitute for the rest of mankind. In this season of Lent, we remember week by week and day by day that we draw one step closer to the cross of Jesus Christ. On that cross, Jesus bore my unfaithfulness. And on that cross, Jesus bore your unfaithfulness. Because of that cross, forgiveness is ours. Rest and trust that forgiveness is yours as well. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for today, and we thank you for all of the stories of your faithfulness in Scripture. As we see that you were faithful to those in the past, we can trust that you'll be faithful to us today. And Lord, this is important because you have promised that if we confess our sins, you will be faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Let us trust in your promises today, knowing you are faithful. I pray this in your holy name. Amen.